Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for July 2, 2023 is based on Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. The guest preacher is Pastor Michael Oakley.
The Gospel of the Lord according to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our God, our parent, from our sibling, Jesus. Our gospel, of course, as you've already heard, is about welcoming. There's a lot of welcome, welcome, and then welcome. And be welcomed. Look for welcome. Give it a try. But I want you to think about something. What was your best welcome experience? What was your best time of being welcomed into a place or with a person or with a family, a church? Maybe. And what was your worst rejection? Now, I did more word study this week than I have done in a long time. I even got out my Greek Bible, good grief. Haven't done that for a while. And worked on some words. First of all, I was concerned about welcome. I thought about the word before, but it's one of those Anglo-Saxon words, one of those English contractions like God be with ye, which we English turn into goodbye. And I'm imagining that welcome was sort of the same sort of thing. It is well that you have come. It is well that you have come, something like that. I looked up some definitions. A welcome is a kind of greeting designed to introduce a person to a new place, a new situation, or to make the visitor feel at ease. The term can similarly be used to describe the feeling of being accepted on the part of the new person. Welcome. Jesus is concluding his sending of the disciples with this message, sending them out and encouraging them to look for welcome and also be welcoming. Expect to be welcomed and also welcome. So one of the things I wanted to look at was what is the word that Matthew uses to translate Jesus Aramaic for welcome, and the word is dexomenos. I know you all need to remember that, dexomenos, and it's two parts, two different words. Dexo is take or receive or come, and menos is kind of like a modifier for the first part. It can be used on other words, and it emphasizes the meaning of the first word, like take a whole lot, hold on, take and keep, continue holding, continue taking. Do taking as best you can. So it is a way of welcoming, but gives us a little bit of a twist on what it means to welcome. It means that I'm going to take you in, Jesus says. I'm going to be taken in. I'm going to be part of you, and you are going to be part of me. Another word I looked at was this word for reward. You know, as Lutherans, we're always a little skittish about reward talk because, you know, we want to so much emphasize that God acts first and we don't deserve what God gives us, but God gives and gives and gives, even to the point of giving God's own Son to die for us and forgive our sins and give us eternal life. So when I see the word reward as an Orthodox Lutheran pastor, I'm like, how do I talk about that? So I mainly want to make sure that you understand that it's not, you're not going to get a reward like we would think of, exactly. Reward is a good way to translate it, but the word for reward in Greek is misthos, and it stands for a very ordinary transaction. I have done something simple for you, you do something simple for me. It's not like you've won a prize for winning a race or something like that, although Paul uses that terminology in other places, but it's a very simple kind of transaction. And I'll talk about that more momentarily. The other word that caught my attention was little ones. What is Jesus talking about when he says that we're supposed to especially take care of the little ones? The word here is mikra, and that has moved into English as micro. Think about micro. So we're not really talking about just little ones. We're talking about really little ones, really unimportant, so small that you might not be able to see them without a magnifying glass. They're microscopic little ones. Okay, so we got some words. We got some terminology that Jesus is using. What do we do with it? Well, let's get back to best welcome and worst rejection. My worst rejection, although there have been many, I know it's hard to believe that anyone would reject me, but one of my early congregations, I had two congregations at the same time, two little country congregations, and one of those congregations was a very unhappy congregation. They were still grieving that they weren't back in Pomerania, still grieving that they weren't worshiping in German, still grieving that their cows weren't producing as much milk as they thought. They were very, very unhappy, and they thought I was insane. So I had the bishop come one time, and he talked with them, and he couldn't figure out what to do, and I finally said, okay, I can't deal with this anymore. It's driving me crazy. So I helped them figure out how to get rid of me. We had to have a congregational meeting, and they had to ask for my resignation, and I ended up with one congregation that was only paying half of my salary, and I had a wife and two kids to take care of, two little kids. It was a horrible time, but also an amazing time because God opened all kinds of other doors that just I would never have expected, all kinds of welcoming that I would not have expected. And I have experienced many, many amazing experiences of welcome in my life. Probably one of the most amazing, and this will be the second time that I've talked about this in a sermon, although I've talked around it before, was my coming out experience back about 7 years ago. In 2016, there was the massacre of people at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. And I had been a pastor in the Cleveland area for quite a while, and old, white, male, had lots of power, sort of. And I thought, you know, I really at least need to be a better ally. Because I had been in the closet for my whole life. Since I was very little, I knew that there was something that wasn't quite right about me, and I hid it. I hid it all the time. It was exhausting, but I did it. And here I was in my 60s, still hiding it, and I thought, well, I could at least be an ally. I can at least be a better ally. So I got involved with the group of people that were planning the memorial service for the folks that died in Orlando. In the process, I met a pastor who was out and who became my very good friend, and he took me to all kinds of LGBTQIA things that I had never maybe even known existed to in many ways, and I was afraid. Here I was, this old, sort of powerful person who could have done something. I could have done a lot more than I did for 50 years in the ministry, but I didn't, because I was hiding myself. And I was really afraid that I would be shunned by LGBTQIA people because I hadn't done anything. But instead, I was welcomed wholeheartedly, completely. People would ask me where I came from, how did I show up at this age, you know, and listen to my story and welcome me. One of the places that happened the most was at PFLAG that Amy mentioned earlier. It was an amazing experience of welcome, an experience of welcome that gave me a new community. In fact, I remember thinking to myself, this LGBTQ community that I am part of now, it is church. It is God's Spirit moving amongst people who may or may not be religious or spiritual or people who really may hate the church and God because of what the church and God seemingly have done to them over the last few thousand years. But they welcomed me, and I felt at home, and I felt free, and I felt reborn, really, for the first time in a while. I started a whole new life, which ended up in falling, not ended, but came to falling in love accidentally and moving here to where Dave lives. Amy left out the part that I grew up in Finneytown in northeastern Hamilton County, and all my family and friends mostly had, not friends, my family had moved away, and I never expected to come back here. My daughter and her family live in Grove City, and I had a house in Grove City to retire to. But instead, I moved in with Dave in Madeira, actually Columbia Township. So a whole new life opened up to me because I thought that I might be welcomed, but I wasn't sure. I let the Spirit move me, shove me into this new community, and I became a whole new person. Welcoming opened doors, opened possibilities, opened a new life for me. So, what happens when we are welcomed? Well, we are sent out to welcome others. How do we do that? I looked around your church. I see that you participate in some kinds of food ministries. There's all kinds of things I'm sure you do to welcome people, and I encourage you to continue doing that. But we can keep on welcoming in so many different ways. Who can do welcoming? Well, we already talked about that. We as baptized people who have gone through the water of death and been raised up out of the water with Jesus Christ, are the welcomers. We are supposed to welcome. That's who we are. It's not that we need to do it to get anything, but that's just what happens. When we are welcomed, we become more welcoming. There is, of course, the issue of being safe, and we always need to keep that in mind. How do we balance the two of reaching out and extending ourselves and taking the risk of being in new places with new people and still taking that balance of being safe? Where do we draw the line? And it's a tough one, because Jesus seems to be pretty extreme. Although Jesus, in his Middle Eastern hyperbolic way of speaking, you know, I sometimes wonder if we maybe could idle back on some of the things that he says. But on the other hand, he's challenging the folks that he's talking to directly, and he's challenging us. He wants us to welcome everybody. If we're prophets, to welcome as a prophet. If we're righteous, welcome as righteous. At least we can give a cold cup of water. And our good friend Martin Luther, of course, says, go ahead and do it. Welcome. Do it. Do all kinds of things that are surprising and unusual and different. He says, love God and sin boldly. That's our Martin Luther. Well, baptism is the beginning, of course, of that welcoming for us, welcomed into the family of God. That is where our hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to welcome. We are to welcome God. When we welcome others, Jesus says we welcome him. We welcome God into our lives. We welcome God's creatures. We welcome God's creation. The little ones. The little ones. The creatures and the creation. I was walking around between the services, and I assumed you had a lot of land, but I was kind of astounded. It's actually more than that one congregation in Exonia had. They had about, I think they had about 3 or 4 acres. So one of the things I'm going to challenge you on, maybe you've thought about it, but I worked with Christ the King in Westchester. They already had a community garden, but it was pretty in-house. And we worked on it, as I had done in my congregation in Brook Park, to use it as an outreach tool to welcome others in. Specifically at Christ the King in Westchester, they have a large population of Spanish speakers who live in apartment buildings not too far away and who would theoretically like to garden. And what do you know? They have come. They have come. They haven't necessarily come to worship, but maybe that'll happen. But they have become part of that community. They have been welcomed, even though they haven't met all the specifics to join the congregation. They have been welcomed and made part of the larger congregation. Gosh, you guys could have a farmer come in and plow up stuff and grow all kinds of things. It would be amazing. So we welcome humans, other creatures, creation, the little ones, the mikra, the micro. We welcome them. This doesn't mean children only. Children are part of it. Jesus was very avant-garde about including children, because children were little ones. They were not that interesting. They didn't live that long for you to really get too tied up with them. So Jesus says, welcome everyone. Welcome everyone. And in them, you will see, you will meet Jesus, and you will welcome him into your life. These are signs of the kingdom that we welcome, and we receive this intangible reward of being in relationship. When we welcome others, we become in a relationship with them, with the little ones, with those who are outsiders, those on the margins, those who are different. When we receive the little ones, the vulnerable, it is doing justice. We are doing justice when we welcome the little ones. It has been a tough time for, it's not really fair for me to say that I'm on the margins or that I'm vulnerable, but in some ways I am. I'm getting to the point where just my age makes me vulnerable, but every time they say, do something medical because you're over 65, like get a vaccination, I'm like, oh, really? Okay. I just turned 69, so I know, well-preserved, right? For marginal people, the last months and years, in some ways, have been very difficult. We see the government in various ways and shapes closing doors, leaving us outside, or if not closing the doors, then the government itself, giving others the opportunity to shut the doors in our faces, simply because who we are, who we love, what we look like, how different we are. It is our opportunity as people in this country to speak out for the little ones. However you see the vulnerable and the needy in your community, and I would include you to encourage you to think of all kinds of people, it is our responsibility as citizens of the United States to speak to those who are making laws and judgments, and you know who I'm talking about. There's a whole bunch of them in Columbus that are working really hard to redefine, to make things go back to some vision of the 1950s that they have. I don't know what they're looking for. And maybe even the Supreme Court is thinking that way too. It's our responsibility as people who welcome to look out for the little ones, to challenge, to open up possibilities, to give opportunities. Welcome. We have been welcomed through the font. We have been made God's children, and we are challenged by Jesus to do the same, to welcome everyone. The peace that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.